I've been preaching 50 years. I still get nervous. First of all, I don't want to disappoint the Lord. Then I want to give you something to go home with. So, anyway, we're going to try tonight. And I want to pray for a couple of things for Pastor Scott and the family, for these twins that are boy or girl with two boys, and the one has a broken leg. Wow. Rough way to start out in life. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you that we can come to you with our deepest requests and know that you hear and answer prayer. We pray for Brother Scott and for Michelle and the kids. Pray you watch over them and bless them and continue to give them a good week this week and bring them home safely. Lord, we pray for these twins and for their care and watch over them. Watch over this little one with a broken leg and pray for healing. And our Father, we thank you. Lord, also we remember the people in El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio. We pray for their families. Pray that perhaps through this and through the testimony and the work of Lieutenant Governor and the Governor, that people might be made aware there's a God in heaven, a God who controls, and a God who can help in the midst of heartache and trouble. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought Carlton was going to steal my thunder. Going to take all my time. Carlton loves to visit, by the way. Good man. What we're going to do tonight is a kind of a view of the scripture as a whole. Not always in complete order, but I think you'll understand as we go along. This is about some powerful words of scripture. And there's a lot in this Bible. Genesis 1:1 starts out, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." God. In the beginning, God. Now, the evolutionists like to tell us that in the beginning was a little amoeba. That amoeba wasn't my ancestor. Didn't cause me to get going. Then we read in John chapter 1 and verses 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. Logos means the expression of the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, not by evolution. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Then we read in 1 John 1:1, and Brother Tom spoke of that this morning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, remember Eve was out walking in the garden and wasn't home taking care of the dishes. And she's out walking in the garden and along comes the old serpent. Said, "Look at that, Eve, isn't that beautiful? Oh, I can't touch that. Can't have that." He lied to her. And the more she looked at it, the better it looked. And she reached up and grabbed that fruit. And she gave some of it to her husband. "Look, honey, look what I found." And that was the beginning of the fall. And God put into practice his plan of redemption. Immediately, the coats of skin were made because they were naked. Nowadays, on some of these television movies, you see them parading around through the trees and the bushes naked. When we do, that television goes off. Horrible stuff today on TV, but that's another sermon. And so God made provision. And he made coats of skins for them. Where'd he get the skins from? From the animals. How'd he get the skins? Well, blood was shed. Picturing the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. And in Genesis 22 and verses 7 and 8, God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, take him up on Mount Moriah, sacrifice him there. That seems strange to us, doesn't it? God would say, kill your son. Abraham said, okay, God. And he went up on that mount, took the fire and the wood. Isaac, being a curious young man, said, where's the sacrifice? And the answer was, God will provide himself a lamb. And as you know the story, he looked around at the thicket. In the thicket there was a ram caught. And they killed that ram instead of Isaac. That kind of picture is a forerunner of God providing himself, Jesus Christ, as the sacrifice for us. And then we come to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. We read about the Messiah. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. And remember that during the days of Jesus Christ walking on this earth, the people didn't realize, would not admit to the fact that this is God. But he was God. He looked like any other Jewish person. They wouldn't give credence to the things he did, just like our president doesn't get credit for the things he does. But he was different. Deuteronomy 6:4 is a great verse for us to pay attention to. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. We come to Joshua. As said, these are not always all in order, but they're pertinent to what we want to bring to you tonight. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make thy way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. The world tells us to do this and you'll have good success, or do that and you'll have good success. God says, follow me, follow the book, do what I tell you, and you will make your way prosperous. A lot is said in the Bible about the way, or the road, or the path that we take. How important it is to start our kids out on the right road, teaching them the right thing and teaching them how to say no, how we say no to the things. They learn how to say no right away, by the way. As you had kids, you know that. There's certain guidelines we need to teach our kids. One of the points to make with this, God seeks to bring people to realize that He's the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says, Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for You. Like that little baby with a broken leg. That's not too hard for God to fix. When you have a financial need in your life, that's not too hard for God to fix. So many of you, including my wife, have backache, terrible back pain. Again, that's not too hard for God to fix. Been praying a long time for her, and praying for some of you folks. Bonnie knows all about that back pain. And these knee operations, it's not a piece of cake. I saw Mike Lutz the day after his operation. He never had so much pain in his life, he said. But he's getting better. Not too hard for God to fix. Job 19:25. Another verse I came up with. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now Job went through the fire. Lost his family. Lost his property, lost his animals. Job 19:25, he gave his testimony. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And we know about Psalm 22:23-24. Psalm 22:1, he said, My God, my God, why has you forsaken me? And we read that in the Gospels. This was a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. And why did that happen? God cannot look upon sin, and His Son became sin for us. Psalm 22:23-24 form a trilogy. The Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and the Chief Shepherd. Backtracking a little bit, 2 Chronicles 7:14, another important portion of the Word of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Dan Patrick is the Lieutenant Governor of Texas. I heard him this morning on the Fox Channel. The preacher couldn't have done it any better. He was exhorting things that we need in our country, need to get back to and get away from. The video games, the things out there that glorify killing, things that we would not have never want our kids to be part of or doing or seeing. And praying. Interesting that we can't have prayer in our schools. When our kids are dying, interesting that our culture has gotten so bad. Kids are growing up without knowing about Jesus Christ. We come to Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp to show me where to walk safely, and a light to show me where to go. I like Proverbs 4. I've told this before. I'm sure Proverbs is a good vitamin for every day. Read one every day for 31 days, and you get to the end of that. Start over again. Read it again. I forget where I heard about doing this. Jeremiah, I think it was on TV, Dr. Jeremiah. Somewhere anyway. I've been doing that for a long time, and I get a lot out of that, out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 and 13 to 15 says, take fast hold of instruction. It's get on the right road. And this Bible is our GPS to lead you where to go and how to go. Then we have Isaiah 7:14. We hear this at Christmas time. We ought to hear it more often, I guess. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. He came down to rescue us, to die for our sins on the cross. Isaiah 9:6, a child is born. More than that, a son is given. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Imagine that. We're just finite little creatures. The God of the universe gave his son to die for us. Sin must be punished. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that sin has to be punished, and it was in the person of Jesus Christ on the cross. Isaiah 52, verses 13 to 15, and all of chapter 53, tell about the crucifixion of Jesus, and the suffering that he did for us. I guess we can't hardly imagine the scope of that, how bad it was for us. In Isaiah 61 and 1 to 2, he talks about the day of grace, followed by, in verse 2, the day of vengeance. We live in the day of grace. This is grace now. You can be born again. You can come to Jesus Christ. One of these days, it's going to be a day of vengeance. The tribulation period is soon coming, and there'll be vengeance on this earth. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You ever thought about your own heart? How it deceives you sometimes? Deceitful above all things. Verse 10 of Jeremiah 17 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. What are reins? The motives. Why are you doing what you're doing? I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Joel 3:16 says, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. It's going to come on the earth. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. In Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Then we come to Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 13, called the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. It's a model. In verse 8 of that portion, he knows what you need. He knows what you need before you ask. When I was first saved, 1956, I think I spoke at a women's temperance meeting. I think that was where I started. Anyway, I spoke somewhere and I said, Lord, I'd like another opportunity. That was on a Saturday when I prayed. Monday in the mail came the invitation. Now, the Lord already had that in motion before I prayed. God does that for us. Matthew 6:33, you know that one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Food, drink, clothing, and I believe along with that is security. God is able. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I think Brother Tom kind of emphasized that this morning. Witnessing for the Lord. Verse 19, Jesus was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now, you notice in Acts chapter 7, I believe it's 58, when Stephen was martyred, Jesus stood up to receive him. Kind of exciting thought, isn't it? That he might stand up to receive us in heaven. I think about John and Betty Stamm, martyred in 1934 in China. Their baby was saved. Was hid, I guess. So they didn't find that baby right away. January 8, 1956, five men in Ecuador trying to reach the Auca Indians. 5 years before that, and this I don't remember, I think it was Peru, one of the South American countries, five people were martyred. And why do they do it? Because they try to witness and try to bring the gospel to these people. In 2000, I think they said, or I guess during the 20th century maybe, there were more people martyred around the world than in any previous time. Then we come to Luke 1:37. This is encouraging for all of us. With God, nothing shall be impossible. In Luke 12:20-21, the says, thou fool, the rich fool, we want to be rich toward God and send our treasure on ahead. Somebody broke into our church and robbed us, robbed the four or six other churches recently. Someone stepped up to the plate and invested that money that belonged to our missionary. What we give to the Lord, we're sending on up there. If we hang on to it, we're liable to lose it. If we send it ahead, it goes into our account in heaven. Luke 24:6, he is not here, he's risen. And he said, remember. Now, this is an important point, I think. We do not remember what we have not read or heard. You know, students, how they study the night before, big test, haven't studied all week, all year, but the for the big test they want to study. It's hard to ask the Lord to bring to your mind if you haven't studied it. Likewise, if we don't remember this gospel, this book, and don't study it, and don't learn the scriptures, now God could put it in your mind, but more apt to be if you've studied it and memorized it and learned it. Then we have the old faithful gospel of John chapter 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. 3:7, 3:3, 3:7, 3:5, it talks about being born again. Verse 16, we know that one. God so loved the world. I like that word so, S-O. That's emphasis. That's emphasis that we have been so loved that he died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten or unique son. And I'm going to run out of time. Don't usually do that. There's so much here. Let me just give a quick Joel 3:16. Lord, no, I already read that one. I think it is. Anyway, we'll bring us to a close. John 8:44. We learn who the father of these perverse and wicked perpetrators of violence is, the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil. I don't want the devil for my father. Our heavenly Father loves us with a perfect love and wants the best for us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, he says in John 14. John 17:3, this is life eternal, they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God and for the scope of the word and for all these verses that tell us that you care about us, you love us, you died for us. We ask you to bless now, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.